I thank God for the opportunity this morning to speak His word. I always bless the Lord. I gotta get my Bible. I'm sorry. Thank you. How are we doing this morning? We are awfully quiet this morning. Praise the Lord! Somebody said they didn't like me yelling, but I don't want to yell, but you need to praise the Lord. Bless my God this morning so I don't have to yell. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of the honor. Come on. Somebody is sad this morning in the spirit because I feel it. I don't know. Praise and worship. I don't know if y'all felt it, but somebody is going through this morning. I feel it. I feel it in my spirit. So we ought to be blessing the Lord for others. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually to be in my mouth. I bless Him this morning. I bless Him for, before I go into my sermon this morning, I want you to know that I am a teacher preacher. I preach, but I want to teach this morning. Just a little bit. I don't want to, I can moan, I can do all that, but this morning I just feel like we need to hear a word. Amen. But before that, I do have a testimony, just a little short testimony. Yeah, oh. Cliff and I were summoned right after church one Sunday evening to go to this home. We had many of you know that we've been praying for Clarence Tyler, and we had asked the church to pray for him because he had this rare cancer in the sinus, you know, and. You know, Cliff and I, if we hear anybody with cancer, we just go, you know, and pray for them. And I was led to the sermon that I'm going to be preaching about this morning to just say, you know, just tell him about the Lord being his shepherd. And I read the 23rd Psalm to him, and I, you know, expounded on it a little bit. And he called me just the other day. Thelma, guess what? I got good news. And I'm going to let him tell you the rest, okay? Clarence, would you come, please?
Man, I don't even know where to start here. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Clarence. I got mobilized back here a couple of years ago with my reserve unit to go to Fort Hood, Texas. What the deal was, once I arrived at Fort Hood, I started having sinus problems, and I started having reflux problems, trying to figure out what was going on with me. It actually started at Camp Chevy, Mississippi, because I went there first for some special training to get the soldier mobilized and send them to Kuwait. As I started going back and forth to the doctor, they kept telling me, said, well, they put me on different type of medication. Then I started having these crazy headaches, like I wanted to be like a rhino, run my head into the wall so it would stop hurting. That's how bad the headaches had got. Then I went through three different doctors. So the doctor said, okay, we're going to do some x-rays and see what's going on. So they did the x-ray. Then after about a week, they called me and said, guess what? I said, well, we got to cut you. I said, cut me? I said, what are you talking about, doc? I said, it's hard enough for me to come to the doctor. You talking about cutting me? He said, yeah, we got to cut you. I said, for what? He said, you got a, what was it, honey? My wife can say it better than I can. Well, something going on in my sinus, deviated septum. And when he scheduled me for July the 13th for surgery, I got there, and when he got there, I was knocked out. So when I come to, I thought the surgery was done. My wife said, no, the surgery was not done. I said, why am I sore? She said, they did a biopsy. And he told my wife, well, just a biopsy. They, you don't get cancer in this area that he knew of because of where it was at. Then on the 18th, that Friday, he called me in, and I said, okay, so I need to see you. I got there, and when I walked into the doctor's office, he said, have a seat. And my doctor's lieutenant colonel. Then I see this major walk in. I said, okay, what do you want to look up my nose also? And this me saying this out loud. I said, oh, you want to take a look at my nose also, doc? He said, no, we just got something we need to tell you. So then my heart jumped. I said, okay, what is going on? So they finally say to me, you have cancer. And I got real quiet, very quiet. Because I always, when I learned of Cliff having cancer, my father-in-law having cancer, and some other friends of mine from social media having cancer, I'm like, God, this is a crazy, scary disease. So we stood in there for about 20 minutes, and I didn't say nothing. And they said, well, do you need to talk to someone? I said, I don't probably need to talk to right now. It's my wife. I need to go. Well, we got somebody to use. I said, I need to talk to my wife. I need to go. So I left the hospital, walked towards the hotel where I was staying at, and I called Rhonda, and I told her what it was. It took a while for me to come to grips with this. And then the first thing I started doing was outside the hotel, on the side of the building, I started crying out to God. I said, what are you doing? I know I've been bad. I know I have. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on the fence. I've done some things that you don't even want me to tell you. I've been in shootouts because of the bounty hunting business that I've been in. I'm my own bail bond business for a long time. I knew who God was. I had a praying mother, a praying grandmother, always prayed for me. I knew the Lord, but I always was on that fence all the time, straddle the fence. I'll jump over here on this side of life and do this and do that, then I'll go to church and do this and do that. It does not work. It does not work. I found out the hard way, but it was a good way for me. And when they finally told me what I had, it was called a lymphoma TNK cell cancer. NKT cell. And I like, okay, doc, what is this? He said, well, it's a what? It's a known killer. It's a known killer cancer because they don't know how to even treat it or where to begin treating it. I said, what do you mean? He said, not enough people have had it. I said, what do you mean not enough people? He said, one in a million gets it. And well, you got it because at first we didn't think that it would be cancer because the cancer don't usually get up in that area. And it's a very, very aggressive cancer. So on the 18th, when he told me I had it, we did surgery on the 6th of August. And probably about a week, it had been grew tremendous after that. It was so aggressive, it just kept growing and growing. I was scheduled for the 28th of August to do the surgery at Williford Air Force Base. Couldn't do it. Had to be done before. I went to go see my doctor. I got to do it right away. He wanted to do it the day I came in to see him. I said, no, my family's not here. So I said, you wait till my family again. So Ron, all of them came down that night. All through the night, my family came down, and he did my surgery at 9 o'clock the very next morning. He said, I can give you till the next morning, but I can't wait after that. Because the thing was really attacking me just that much. How I get here to where I'm at today to stand before you, and by God, that's the only way. He kept me. He kept me, not me. God kept me. As you said in Proverbs, there's a lot in Proverbs that I read every day. How I make it through the day is through Proverbs. It is my daily guide for me to wake up and deal with this every day. But there's Isaiah 53, verse 5. What Jesus went through for me, and terrible as I was healed where he was wounded. He was beat down so I could be healed. That's how I got here. That's how I'm able to stand here before you. And when I went to the doctor last week that found the cancer, the man started jumping up doing this. The doctor shouted. He started jumping up and shouting. I'm looking at him. He trust me, my doctor's a character. Because some people don't know how to take him serious. And he said, there's nothing there. And I said, it's by God's grace. There's nothing there that I'm doing. So with this, I tell you this right here. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. And I live every day for him. Every day for God, I live for him. Sometimes my wife see me crying through the apartment. She said, what you crying about? I said, these are tears of joy to what he have done for me that I cannot forget. We can never pay God. And all he asks for us is to love him. He never closes his arms to us. Thank glory be to God.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, God. For the essence of time, I want to read 23rd Psalms. Just want to read it. I need my glasses. Boy, I tell you, thank you. Thank you. many know that we're living in the grace of a good shepherd, a wonderful shepherd? I don't know about you, but I'm touched by the testimony this morning, because that's the same testimony my husband, Cliff, has, that God can heal. The reading of the word this morning, and if you don't mind, read the word with me. I know you have various versions of the Bible and all. You just read it silently as I read it loud. And I want you to put emphasis on this. Make it your personal testimony, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus, for the reading of your word. Father, I just want to bless you for your goodness, your kindness, your tender mercy toward us. Thank you for your healing virtues. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that come from you, O God. God, we don't deserve your kindness, but we want to thank you anyway. Oh, God, your mercy, your grace, your all that you are, God, every character that you have, Lord, we just want to thank you for them. And, Lord, we will live for you all the days of our life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to share a little story. Philip Keller, a 20th century shepherd, writes about his experiences on his sheep ranch. He described one sheep who had the fatal flaw of discontentment. She was one of the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to him. Her body was beautifully proportioned and had a strong constitution and an excellent coat of wool. But in spite of all these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, discontented, a fence crawler. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My field were my joy and delight. It was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned up pasturage of a most inferior sort. She was a sheep who, in spite of all that I had done to give her the very best care, still wanted something else. She was not like the one who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Is that story familiar? Does it sound familiar? Sound like a rebellious child, don't it? How about a person that you thought was your friend, and you found out later they weren't your friend? She did things that, you know, that troubled you to the point where you're not my friend. What about a boss that you worked for 25 years and brought somebody else in and they took your job, your position that you've been waiting on for years? Sound like somebody very ungrateful, right? So it just reminds you of Isaiah 53:6. We're all like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What a story. I see so many afflictions here. And I thank David. I really love the book of Psalms. Because David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Amen? Amen. So, this morning I have an invitation for you. I personally want to invite each one of you to a way of life in God's grace. Now, grace is defined as the unexpected and undeserved favor of God toward us. The message aim this morning is to get you to accept this invitation. It is a good decision, and you will enjoy the grace coming from a good shepherd who knows his sheep and takes good care of you. Amen. I've read to you the 23rd Psalm. When I looked at this text, when I shared it with Clarence that Sunday, I just needed to know more about it. And I'm just a student of the word. I just want to know a lot. You know, I'm hungry for God's word. And the first thing I saw, and you may not be aware of this, but the 23rd Psalm is perhaps the most beloved passage in the Bible. It is among four gems of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the 23rd Psalm, the Beatitude, and the Lord's Prayer. The 23rd Psalm, along with Psalms 22 and 24, are called the Messianic Psalms, for they form a triology. And what that really says that, like, for example, Psalms 22 is the Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. You find that in John 10:11. In Psalms 23, the Great Shepherd tenderly cares for his sheep. You find that in Hebrews 13:20. And Psalms 24, the chief shepherd appears as king of glory to reward his sheep. And you will find that in Psalms 1 Peter 5:4. I apologize for that. The 23rd Psalm is a profession of joyful trust in the Lord. We know that David was the shepherd king, but he acknowledges that the Lord is his shepherd king. For he is the shepherd of Israel. Amen? Jesus is the shepherd of his people. This particular psalm has been read in many funerals, yet it's not about death. I know we think it is, but it's not. It is an invitation to a way of life. It is the confidence that it is possible to live in the unceasing care of a relentlessly attentive and gracious God who is described by David as Jehovah Roah. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Jesus was the first on earth to understand and continuously live the 23rd Psalm. His Father was his shepherd every moment, every day. Jesus moved about in the midst of relentless demands and difficulties, but he allowed himself to be led, to green pastures and quiet waters. He lived with a regularly stored life. He had no place to call home and yet was contented, joyfully contented. He didn't want, living moment by moment in his shepherd's presence was enough. even on the cross, in the valley of death itself, Jesus held on to his promise of the shepherd. Even when he couldn't see or feel the Father, he committed his spirit to him. Jesus persevered in that path of righteousness for his shepherd's name's sake. And for you, your sake as well. Amen? So you can live in the grace of a good shepherd's presence forever. This morning, I invite you to find out how you can live everyday grace of the good shepherd. Living in grace will require new eyes. Do I need to say that again? It will require new eyes. Spiritual eyes. You will have to learn to see God's grace every day at work all around us through the eyes of faith. Jesus was the master of this. For him, it was simple. He saw that we are surrounded by evidences of God's grace, his shepherding. And you'll find this in Matthew 6:26. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I hope so. I know so. Jesus said that any time you see a bird nibble some seed, you're watching the grace of God at work. Because these are ordinary events that occurs most of the time, we fail to recognize these as grace. It is not an accident that God, that the food is available to us or anything. It's no accident. It is the good shepherd at work. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day we inhale and we exhale, that's grace. Every time you wake up in the morning, think a thought, enjoy a meal, that's grace. That's grace. They're not random occurrences. They are gracious gifts from the hand of our God. Amen? David boldly declares, as if he was boasting, hey, look at my God. Amen? Look at my owner, my manager. He is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Let me just give you a little history about David. David's life was anything but smooth and peaceful. After killing Goliath, David's rise to prominence enraged the insecure and insane King Saul, right? He even stalked him for years because he lived as a fugitive. David narrowly escaped multiple assassination attempts. David was also no stranger to crushing grief. Jonathan, the most trusted friend of David, became one in spirit with David, was killed along with Saul in battle. David also lost an infant son and a grown son. David knew shame and regret. He not only committed adultery, he engaged in an elaborate cover-up scheme. When that didn't work, in desperation, he caused the offended husband to be killed. Confronted by Nathan the prophet, David finally repented, although it was a horrible stain on his public and private reputation. See, David also had daily pressure from the role as a political leader and a military leader. His kingdom was threatened by civil war, and he was forced to run for his life. His pain was multiplied because his very own son, Absalom, led that rebellion. My God. My God. The unvarnished emotion accompanying his life ups and down flowed through David's many psalms. I can remember the one that's in Psalm 6 and 6. I am worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping. And Psalms 31, 9 through 10 says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My strength fails because of my afflictions, and my bones grow weak. Psalm 69, 13 through 14 says, answer me with sure salvation. Rescue me from the miry. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. It was pressure, opposition, fear, grief, guilt, and uncertainty which caused David to confidently assert, the Lord is my shepherd. David had a change of attitude. He blessed the Lord, for he is our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Let's take a look at Psalm 34 for a minute. Psalm 34. I'm not going to read it all, but we need to know that you need to learn how to bless the Lord at all times. Amen. For your healing, for your troubles, whatever you're going through. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to read verse 19 again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. That's the reason why we ought to be blessing the Lord. Bless him in the morning. Bless him in the noonday. Bless him every opportunity that you get. We ought to bless the Lord because of the afflictions that we have. When we change our attitude, we can enjoy the good days all the days of our lives. Many times we suffer because we won't say thank you. Just sort of small things that God do for us. Begin to thank the Lord. Bless him. Because he is worthy of the praise, y'all. He's worthy of the honor. Now let us find the contentment, the restoration for our soul. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet water. The strange thing about a sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Did you know that? How many knew that? Somebody, I saw a hand, because I didn't know anything about a sheep. I was talking to your mother the other night, and I said, oh, I wish I had a book on sheep. And she was telling me her story that her mother used to make wool and sweaters for her. And if she had, if she knew the story, but if she had a book, she would give it to me. But I had to research this. If they are fearful, they will not rest. Okay? And if other sheep are bothering them, they will not rest. If they're tormented by pestilence, parasites, they will not rest. Last, if they are hungry, they will find food and they will not be at rest. Let's look, before we go there, we are like that too. How many know that if you are afraid, that you are not at rest? That's why God gave us another scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Don't we need a sound mind this morning? I feel it. I feel we need a sound mind this morning. God truly cares for his flock, Would you look at your neighbor for me just for a moment? Tell your neighbor, don't mess with me. I'm too blessed for your mess. Tell them, I ain't got time for it. I don't have time for it. Tell them I'm too blessed for your mess. Okay, we have the sheep laying down now. The good shepherd brings contentment and secure rest. Amen? Let's see what the green pasture is all about. Green pasture, a symbol for all that makes life flourish. John 10:9 said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Is that a good symbol of green pasture? A good symbol of green pastures? Being able to go in and out and find good pasture. What about lead me? Like a good shepherd, Jesus will lead you. Isaiah 40:11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I love this passage of scripture. I love that because a lot of leaders don't believe that you have to love the sheep. If you gotta stroke them, you gotta stroke them. Cause some people need that. They have not been loved right. So you have to know when a person need loving. And if you gotta stroke them, stroke them. That's your job. Amen? Quiet waters. Waters that provide refreshment and well-being. Isaiah 49:10. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that had mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. What a mighty God we serve. What about the valley of the shadow of death? That doesn't mean you're going to die. It does not mean that you're dying, okay? If you are going through, that means you're not stuck. Amen? If you're going through, you're not stuck. And guess what? He goes through with you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. In the summertime, efficient shepherds lead their sheep into the high country. Though this is the time of greatest danger from floods, rock slides, poisonous snakes, and predators, it is also a time of great intimacy between sheep and shepherd. Amen? So don't fear the low valleys. I know we all want mountaintop experiences. They're good too. But you can't get there instantaneously. You have to go through the valley. And I promise you, if you go through the valley, you will appreciate when you are on the mountain. You don't have to come down. But if you go to the mountaintop first, that's a long fall. Amen? It's a long drop. So take the valley. Go through the valley. And enjoy the intimacy with Jesus. I know, Cliff, that we've had the mountaintop and we went through the valley. But we found that going through the valley was more intimate with God, right? And as a result of that, my husband looked, you all remember months ago how he looked, but look at him now. Now, I know you may not think he's good looking, but I do. Amen. Clarence, my brother Clarence, you all don't know him. Many of you met him during the wedding, but he's always thought he was good looking. And he's still good looking today. Amen. He's had some intimacy with the Father. Ooh, I just love it because I know Clarence. I love him in this state. Amen. Amen. I mean, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, what about the rod? Everybody look at the rod as chastisement. It is that. But the instrument of authority, it's an instrument of authority used also by the shepherd for counting, guiding, rescuing, and protecting sheep from predators. Amen? Amen. The staff, it's an instrument also. It's an instrument of support used by shepherds to guide and comfort sheep. He prepares a table. Listen, he's going to prepare a table for you in front of your enemies. How many got enemies? Many of us. But isn't it nice that you be able to, I don't mean front before your enemy, but sometimes you need to show God's goodness to your enemy. Let them come over your house and see what God has done. They need to know too so they can change their stinky attitudes. Amen? Amen. We don't love on them. They need deliverance too. So we are supposed to be salt and light to our enemies, right? We're supposed to love them. I know it's hard sometimes to love your enemy. But if God loved us, and we were certainly his enemy at one time, but he died for us, didn't he? Amen. Amen. He will prepare a table because he offers security. He anointed my head with oil. This was a customary treatment of a household guest. When somebody came into your house, the first thing they did was anoint you with oil. Amen. What a privilege, what an honor. And you'll find that in Luke 7 and 46. The cup of the Lord's banquet. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The cup of blessing, which we will bless. We bless the people of God. We bless him through our communion and the communion and the blood of Christ. The bread which we break. It's the communion of the body of Christ. Now it says, surely goodness and mercy, love, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. In my conclusion this morning, Jesus said in John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, most of us think only God can bring a blessing to us. The Christian life is a two-way proposition. Nothing pleases God more than to see his flock flourish and prosper. It delights him personally to feel compensated for the care he has given. Amen? In other words, he wants satisfaction as well. And what is that satisfaction? For us to go out in the fields, because sheep beget sheep. We are to go and search for the sheep that are lost. There are sheep in your families this morning. There are sheep that God brings to you. We were talking about that this morning, and we don't effectively witness to them because we have fear. I've already told you, God has not given us that spirit. If you love God, you will go out after those sheep that are lost. God didn't save you to sit in these nice pews. To bless the Lord in them. Glory, hallelujah, for yourself. Spread the word of God to others. Love on one another. My sister Joanne, love on her. Be a light to her. My brother Randy, love on him. Be a light unto him. We don't know what you're going through this morning, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going through something. And don't be afraid to share with one another I'm not saying tell your business all that you want to keep. Hold on to it. But share what you're going through so that somebody can pray for you. Because we're to lift each other up in love is what the Word of God says, right? That's how you know that you are His disciples, because you have love one for the other. The Good Shepherd is indeed a good shepherd because of what He did for you and I. He gave up His life. I don't have the price to pay Him for it. I don't have it. I don't even know where I could borrow it from. I know Clarence got a lot of money, but I don't think he have enough money to lend me to pay for what God has done for me. And neither do you. Young people, I thank God for my husband who was a light to the young people. I have to share this with you this morning. All the abilities, all the talents that you have, don't get caught up in the talent and the ability. Get caught up in the Creator of those talents and abilities. You can be a light to the lost world. You're the only sheep that can bring in young sheep. See, we old people can't go out and get young people because we're too old. But you can. And if your life does not reflect the life of Christ, how are they going to come in? Don't get so caught up in things. You have an opportunity. You're here today to be light and salt to some lost soul. Utilize those skills to do that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. God's shells are loaded. They're loaded. Your outstanding music is, it's just awesome. Great music, great voices. But you don't have a song unless God is in it. The music don't mean a thing unless God is in it. Your good-looking self don't mean a thing unless God is in it. And I know y'all like to look good. I do too. But I'm telling you, it's all about Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to last. We're going to all fade away. And if you don't have a foundation, guess who's going to sink? You are. And I hope I said something this morning to let you know. I just want to know now, as I close, did anybody, or would anybody, accept the invitation I offered this morning? Would anybody? Did anybody want to know Christ in a more personal way? I know you say, that's not what I'm asking this morning. I'm asking if you want a closer walk with the shepherd. Thank you. Anybody else want a closer walk with the shepherd? Don't be ashamed. It's not a time to be proudful. Because young people are dying. My daughter had to go to a funeral of a 6-year-old. And she had some questions. She had some concerns. Why, Mama, did this baby have to die? The children are dying because we are not good parents. Just put it like that. I know you don't like to hear bad things, but parents are not doing their jobs today. You got grandma doing it. You got big sister, big aunt. Everybody is taking care of your children but you. And it's not fair for those babies to hurt in these other homes. I have a burden today because the babies are dying in cares of other people. And we're not searching truth. The Word of God is our truth, our source. And we won't even take and open the manual to get instruction. We'd rather let them die. Satan, you're a liar. I'm tired of the kids dying because of our neglect and our responsibility. So if I sign out of order, please forgive me, but I'm tired of our babies. I don't care if they're white, they're black, they're green, they're yellow, whatever color they are. I'm tired of them dying. And we need to get sensitive. We as believers need to be praying against that spirit. There's a lot of spirits out there that's against God. I'm sick of it. And we walk around here like, you know, big deal. It ain't happening to me. So I don't care, you know. We are believers in Christ and we are helpers of one another. Let's start praying. Let's start praying. Let's lift each other up in love. Is there anybody else this morning that need a closer walk with Christ? Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, I bless you. I thank you, Lord, because this wasn't a preaching message, but it was a teaching message. And I hope, Lord, you use me to get out what you wanted out this morning. I thank you, Lord, because there are a lot of people that are sick. And you said, if there are any sick among us, call for the elder of the church, Lord, and let him anoint us with oil. And we shall recover. We shall be made whole because of the great shepherd that you are. You are our Jehovah Roar, our shepherd. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are our Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Let the peace of God rest, rule, and abide in our hearts every day of our lives, God. We'll give your name the glory. We'll give your name the honor that you so worthy of. Bless those that raise their hands this morning, Lord. Give them a closer walk with you. And Lord, I know that it will be worth the while. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Perhaps maybe you've been, as Brother Clarence mentioned earlier, walking along the fence. Riding that fence. Just coming to church, just interested but not committed. Today maybe God has spoken to you. It's time to get off that fence. To get down in the pen with the other shepherd, with the other sheep. And to start living with them and finding the good graces of the good shepherd. It may be that you're on the outside of the pen. Interested what's going on inside, watching the shepherd care for his sheep, watching the other sheep as they mill about, and you've been interested in joining, and I would ask you to go through that door today and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. It may be that you need prayer for something that you're going through. Maybe you're in the valley today. Maybe you're going through that valley and you need some prayer today. Whatever the decision today that God is impressing upon your heart to make, I'd ask that you would follow through with that. Follow through with that. Maybe it could be that you may need baptized. Maybe you have made that commitment to Christ, but you still feel that there's something missing. And Jesus made it very important to us that it's important to be baptized to show others of your new life and the new life that He's given for you. It may be that. It may be that you need to make a strong commitment to join our church and to begin serving and to begin ministering the other sheep and to pray for the other sheep where they're hurting. Whatever that decision is, I would just ask you to get with me or our elder, Brother Philip, after the services. We have some material we'd like to give you. We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to read scripture to you. Whatever it takes to get you to the place that you need to be with the grace of the Good Shepherd. Please stand with me today as we dismiss. And before we dismiss, I'd like to still remember, next weekend is our 18th anniversary. Next weekend is our 18th, or not 18th, next week the 18th is our 22nd, 23rd anniversary. Please remember to bring some food, a meat item, side dish, some dessert to share with the other families here, and we'll have a great time after church. think the teenagers want to challenge the adults to softball, or not softball, but volleyball. And if it's raining, that doesn't matter. We'll bring the nets in here. We'll move the chairs back and play volleyball in here. We'll have fun. But next week, tell you, bring your family members too. Bring your family members to as we celebrate our anniversary here at Prayer of Faith. Keep Pastor Jack in your prayers. He's this morning he's fulfilling some mission services by attending another church. He's doing some life coaching to someone, and his the person he's doing life coaching with wanted his church to meet him. So he's going this morning and introducing himself to the person he's doing some life coaching with, his church. So be praying for him as he begins his new career, not career, but this his new calling also, his life coaching other people. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for keeping us in your grace. Father, please, as we're sheep, sometimes we do go astray. And we just ask that you would just gently put us back in the fold. Thank you for the wonderful testimony of Clarence today, of taking him into your fold and healing him and restoring him to your grace. Father, I just thank you so much for your patience for us and your kindness. Please anoint us with your Spirit as we go out this week to find new sheep and to minister to others. Please let us be a light to all this week. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.